Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We're talking about the heroes of faith, all the great stories of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Man, what a movie it would make, but there just aren't enough theaters to film all of it. And so what God did, he took people and characters, real people who were just like us, who had strengths and had weaknesses, but God uses humans to reveal himself and his word on this planet, and it's just an incredible story. So we've been in the middle of the Ark of the Covenant was stolen, the Israelites finally got it back, but they didn't know the rules to handle it, and so Israel's gone from sinning to repenting to sinning to repenting to sinning to repenting. It's the whole Old Testament. We're going to follow God? No, we're blessed. Now we don't need to follow God. Oh, man, we're in a mess. Now we need to follow God? Okay, you know, now we're sinning and we don't follow God. And it was just a repeat. So we're picking this up. It's a great story today, talking about the Israelites want a king. How'd they get a king? Well, it's kind of an interesting story. So we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Great story. It says the Israelites hated having the Philistines rule over them. My men, they're living in sin. It's not good. Everywhere the people mourned because they thought the Lord had forsaken them. Where's he gone? Where's God gone? And so they didn't understand. And so then they remembered Samuel and how God had talked to him in the past. Perhaps Samuel could help us out of our trouble. So Samuel told the people in Israel, okay, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, you must destroy all your idols from among you. Then prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him. If you do that, this is when he will deliver you from the Philistines. Well, what a time of cleansing that followed up. Man, everybody started burning their idols, tearing everything down, the idols of Baal and Ashtoreth. They started gathering up, and everybody that worshipped, and they just built a big fire and burned all of it. Samuel knew the people really wanted to follow God this time. He said, man, they're sorry. God, I'm telling you. He sent word to him, all of you come to Mizpah, and I will pray for you there. So all the people came. They confessed their sins. They prayed to the Lord for Samuel to advise them and help us get us out of our problems. Well, when the Philistines learned that the Israelites were meeting in Mizpah, they decided the Israelites were getting really ready for battle. Thought, oh, they're getting ready to whip us. No, they're getting ready to try to repent and get God back. At once, the Philistines called everybody, the bravest of their soldiers, listen, we're marching on Mizpah and to fight against Israel. The Israelites trembled as they looked over the hills and saw the Philistines coming to battle. Man, we've got a boatload of people in there coming for us. The Israelites had thought they'd not brought weapons to fight with them. They brought their worship. They didn't bring their tools. They got their swords and shields with them. They don't have anything. They told Samuel, pray the Lord and ask him to deliver us from the Philistines. And Samuel took a lamb and he sacrificed it to God. And he prayed for God's help. And God heard his prayer. Strangely enough, the Philistines did not get near enough of the Israelites. You know, they couldn't even get close to them to use their swords or their spears. A big thunderstorm came. They got stuck in the mud. Their chariots got stuck in the mud. They became so frightened, so confused, they dropped their weapons. The Philistines just dropped their weapons. Man, what's going on? We got mud. We got thunderstorms. Our chariots won't move. And they just dropped their swords, and they ran. Well, the Israelites saw this, and they ran behind them, and they picked up the Philistines' weapons, and they drove the Philistines back to their own land. It was a great victory. Everybody said, man, woo, we are a happy bunch today, and they praised the Lord. So Samuel set up a stone pillar on the battlefield, just a big pile of rocks, and he called it Ebenezer, which means, here the Lord helped us. What does it mean? Now, you know, if you grew up in church, here I raise my Ebenezer. What's it talking about? It's talking about this battle. Samuel piled up some rocks. He said, what do you call that rocks? That's Ebenezer. We're going to call this pile of rocks Ebenezer. It's a pile of rocks in the middle of a field. Why? This is where God helped us. This is where God delivered us. And so they knew God has helped us here. As long as Samuel lived and judged the people of Israel, the Philistines did not return to Israel because they realized something. They got a guy that knows how to pray. Let's not mess with them. So they even came back. Some of the cities that had belonged to Israelites, we whipped you in the past. We chipped your city. Hey, we're going to give the city back. Hey, you can have this back. They're trying to get favor with the people of Israel. Well, about 1 Samuel 7:15 said Samuel made his home at Ramah. You know, that's where he made his altar of the Lord. That's where he did. During the year, he went from city to city throughout Israel and judged the people. Why? He could hear from God. Nobody else could. They only got one guy. He was the last of the 13 judges who ruled the people of Israel. People always ask me, said, what's your favorite number? I said 13. No, that's an unlucky number. I mean, some hotels, big rise hotels, they don't have a 13th floor because people won't stay on it because it's an unlucky number. I said, no, it is a very lucky number. You ever count the number of times that Israel walked around the walls of Jericho? You know, once a day, you know, for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day? Add that up. What is that? 13. How many times did they walk around the walls of Jericho before it fell? 13 times. It's really a lucky number. The devil just messed up so many things. And so they just realized something. He's been a judge in Israel, over the people of Israel. But now Samuel's growing old, and he had some sons that would help him in judging the Israelites. But the two sons were not fair in their judgments. And they decided they're going to take money and steal and do some other things that other people had done before. They said, listen, the way they got favor is the people that gave the most money, they're the ones going to get the most favor. The elders of Israel, they were concerned. So about the young men, they came to Ramah to talk to Samuel. Hey, Samuel, you're getting old. You're getting ready to retire. We don't want to have these two dumpy kids ruling over us. Said, your sons are liars. They're not fair in their judgments. We want you to give us a king. Because all the countries that Israel ever fought against had a king. Every country had a king except Israel. It doesn't have a king. They got a God. They got the God. Not a God. They got the God. And God spoke through prophets and priests. And said, we want a real king like the heathen nations have. Well, Samuel did not answer the elders. Instead, he talked to God about and talked to the Lord. He said, "What do you want to do? What are these people? They're not rejecting you, but they're rejecting me." He said, "What's going on? They don't want me to be over them." Said God, "Said no, it's me they reject. They don't want me to be their king. They want a human king. Do as they say. Do as they say. Let them know how you feel about it, though." And so let them know what it's going to be like to have a king rule over them. So Samuel walked and told the elders, said, the Lord said, if you want a king, he'll give you one. But he'll take your sons, and he'll drive the chariots to be his horsemen and serve in his army, run his farm. He will take your daughters to work in his palace, and he will take the best of your food and grow it for himself. And you will be his servants. Of all of you, he'll take a tenth of whatever you got. Then you will complain about the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not listen to you. It's like, I mean, can you ever had a worse thing said to you? Okay. God said, okay, I'll give you what you want. You know, we read Numbers one time when the children of Israel left Egypt. They're going to the promised land. I'm going to live in the land of milk and honey. I'm going to live in houses I did not build. I'm going to drink from vineyards I did not plant. I'm going to eat grapes the size of, you know, cantaloupes. And when they got over, they realized, well, there was a land, like God said. It was a land of milk and honey. There were big old houses. There were great grapes and vineyards and corn. I said, but we got a problem. There's giants living in the land. No, there weren't that many. There were just a few. And said, we even talked to some of them, and they told us we looked like grasshoppers in their sights. And so you know the story. 12 spies go in to spy out the promised land. 12 spies come back. 10 gave an evil report. 2 gave a good report, Joshua and Caleb. The 10 said, man, we can't go in there. They're giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers on their side. Man, we can't do this. And said, Joshua said, no, we can do this. We are more than able. You've always got somebody in every situation, every century, every group of people. They've got two groups of people. There's those that are trusting God, and there are those that are rejecting God. There's no middle ground. God, the devil, heaven, hell, we're like an Oreo cookie. We're in the middle. We get to choose life, death, blessing, cursing. There's no third choice. And so here they are. They're upset. And so they came back. And so you know the story. They said, no, we can't do it. Well, the people of Israel believed the 10. They always believe the majority. What's the majority? What's the majority? What do most people say? What do most people say? It's not what most people say. It's what does God say? It's not what most people are probably going to be wrong. It's what does God say? And so God said, fine. And Numbers said, God listened to him, said, listen to him. I've heard the complaints. And you tell them, okay, because what they cried was, oh, if we'd only died in Egypt. Oh, if we could only die in the wilderness. Oh, if we just dropped dead here. We don't want to go and have the big giants kill us. Oh, if we'd only died here, if we'd only died in Egypt. And God said, fine. He heard them. And he told Moses, listen, I've heard them. Tell them I will give them what they say. This generation will not go into the promised land. For the next 40 years, they're going to wander in the wilderness till this generation drops dead. Then I'll take their children in. And that's what God did. So you got this situation here where we don't want your ratty sins over us. So Samuel says, God, what are we going to do? He said, listen, give them what they say. Give them what they say. And Samuel told the elders what the Lord said. You have a king. It's going to cost you. Your kid's going to serve them, going to live, work for them, going to be in the military. They're going to have to fight. Your daughter's going to serve in the palace and cook and clean. It's going to cost you a tenth of your income. Even after elders heard this, they said, we don't care. We don't care if this costs our sons. We don't care if it costs our daughters. We don't care if it costs us 10%. We want to be like everybody else. We want a king like other nations. We want a king. Again, Samuel told the Lord what the people had said. Again, the Lord said, listen to them. Give them a king. Finally, Samuel tore his clothes. Return to your homes, for God will give you what you have asked. And God gave him a king. People used to ask, where did taxes come from? Israel wanted a king. That's where the 10% came. And the Bible, where did the 10% come from? You know, where the, well, 10%. You know, God said, listen, I've taken care of you. I've been your God. I've been good. I've been your pillar of fire at night time. I've been your cloud to cover you by day. I've dropped manna out of heaven. I helped you find water out of a rock. I am the God who will supply all of your needs. I'm the God who will take care of you. I'm the God who's good. And so what happened was, people said, where did all this come from? Well, to be honest with you, it's because somebody was a bad father. Samuel was raised by a priest who was a bad father, and evidently he learned some of those ways. He was the guy who heard from God now. He was the great man of God in the country. Everybody came to him for answers because he could hear from God. He could hear from God. He didn't know how to raise his kids, but he could hear from God. He didn't know how to parent, but he can hear from God. I tell people, there are no perfect humans on this planet. And people hear things sometimes by great preachers or TV preachers or the pastors. Like, listen, guys, he's got anointing to preach it. He didn't have anointing to live in. He has to choose just like you do to live God, to live in fear of God, to worship God, to serve God. And that's why he gets to repent and forgive every day of his life, like for everybody else. And so how are we going to do? We're going to have to give you a king. They want one. They want to be like everybody else. We'll give them one. So Saul is about to become king. God picks him a guy out here in 1 Samuel chapter 9, said, So now Kish was a rich man in Israel who owned a lot of wide fields and green pastures in the land of Benjamin. He had many cattle to care for. Sometimes his son Saul helped him. Now Saul's daddy is Kish. One day, several donkeys wandered away from the pasture and got lost in the woods. Kish told his son Saul, hey, take one of your servants, go out, find the lost donkeys. For 2 days, Saul was gone. The other servants hunted for the animals, but he couldn't find him. Finally, Saul said, well, let's go back to my father. You know, he'll soon forget about the animals and think we're lost. But Saul's servants did not want to return without those donkeys. He said, let us stop. Let us stop in the city. Let's ask the man of God, and he'll tell us where the animals are. Well, Saul didn't want to stop because he didn't know, I don't know God. So anyhow, the servant says, see, I have a small piece of money. I will give it to him. When Saul saw that piece of money, and say the two men went over to the man of God, they climbed a hill. I'm on the city where he lived. They met two young girls coming out to get water. They said, hey, girls, is the man of God live here? And they said, well, if you go through this gate, now you will find him. The girl said, we are getting ready for the Feast of Israel. So Saul and his servants hurried on. They went to the gate and met Samuel, the man of God. And at once Samuel knew that Saul was the man that God had told him about the day before. tomorrow, about this time, God had told him, God said, I will send you a man from the tribe of Benjamin. Him you must anoint as the king of my people. He'll be the captain of his army, and he will save Israel from the Philistines. So we got a story. What's going on? God said, listen, I don't want them to have a king. I want them to have a prophet. But they don't want a prophet. They want their own king. Well, I'll do the best I can. It would be a whole lot better if you'd have the man of God talk to you. But if you want a king, I'll give you one. And so he picked a guy. He did. He picked the guy, best guy in the country. You know, I'll pick the guy that's good. Tall, taller than most people. Like, you want a king? Well, I'll do the best I can. Jesus, whenever Jesus ministered, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus never ministered without asking a question. Do you believe I can do this? And the people said, is that important? Yes, I'm God. I'm here as a human, but I'm God. I'm limited by what you believe I can do. He asked the guy who had the boy that was demon-possessed, threw himself in the fire, trying to kill himself, and the disciples came, and they couldn't get him delivered from the demon. So the dad comes to Jesus and said, you know, your men couldn't do this. And Jesus looked at him and said, oh, you need a little faith. And he said, the father asked Jesus, can you do this? And he says, well, do you believe I can? And was that important? Yes, he said, because I'm limited. I am limited by what you believe. Though I'm God, I can raise the dead. I can walk on water. I can call fire. But I'm limited by what you believe I can do. And so same thing. God says, well, I'll find this guy. He's about the best on the planet I've got. It'll be a whole lot better if you talk to God directly, but if you want to, I'll give you a king. And so he finds this guy and said, hey, we're going to go in here. And your dad's a big, famous, rich guy. He wants you to find the lost donkeys, and he's out there looking for them. And you think, well, I can't know. I don't know where they're at, you know. So finally he finds and runs to this guy, and they finally find this priest. And the priest knew God had spoken to the priest the day before, told him, okay, Israel has rejected God, but they want a king. I'll give them one, and tomorrow you'll meet him. So the meeting is just taking place. Israel is about to get a king. They're about to get taxes. All that is going to happen. So the thing is, he's a human, and humans will make mistakes. Humans go stupid every day. Humans fall on their face. They have to get up, repent, and forgive, and have to learn how to keep moving. And so this is the beginning of a really interesting age for the children of Israel. So we're going to pick this up next time. Tune back in, guys, and learn about the heroes of faith. It's how we learn how God works with people. God loves humans, and humans aren't perfect, but God loves us. He said we can repent quick, forgive quick. We just have to learn how to get back up. So tune in next time. God bless. Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.